When it comes to your career, there isn't one formula for success. And some of the best stories I've heard didn't follow a plan. That's why I've created this podcast. In each episode, I'll share an inspirational career story and introduce you to the amazing person behind it. I'm Steve, and welcome to the My Career Story podcast. Hello and welcome back to the My Career Story podcast with me, your host, Steve Keith. Now, I hadn't actually realised until I was scheduling this episode to be published today on Anchor how long it had been since I'd last put an episode out there. It was October 2021, so we're looking on for like nearly 9 months now. I'm sitting here and I have a glass of Sauvignon Blanc with me because I'm celebrating. I'm celebrating the end of my fourth year in business, something that I'm incredibly proud of. And I think one of the reasons that I launched this podcast 3 years ago, we're almost reaching that anniversary as well, was after I had taken the step to leave my career and the security and safety of that behind with no plan as to what was next and throw myself headfirst into working for myself. Now, it's been 4 years, as I was saying, since I started that new career, exploring firsthand the ups and downs of self-employment and the world of business ownership. And I felt like now was the right time to put this episode out. I asked for some of my guests that have been on the pod previously, and you're going to hear from them today, to send me some questions about my own career. And a lot of my career comes from that moment of, I suppose, having a moment of clarity as to what I wanted and what I didn't want, and having no clarity at the same time. And there's been a lot that's gone on since then. I've had some fantastic projects that I've worked on with clients, but there's also been the pandemic that's been thrown into the mix, which has really tested my resilience and my own ability to honour my boundaries when it comes to my mental health. And if you follow me on social media, you will see that I've taken the decision to step back from my business for a while. That involves the podcast, although arguably having taken a step back for 9 months, then I probably have already done that. But projects like the podcast and the Queer Student Awards that I launched last year, which I'm on the cusp of delivering for the second year this year, albeit with a rail strike that has decided to throw itself upon me, have shown me the things that bring me joy and the things that I'm really passionate about, and caused me to think about, as they did 4 years ago, what next. So if I go a little bit quiet, socials here, anywhere over the next few months, then that's the reason why. I'm taking an opportunity to think, as I did 4 years ago, what next. And breathe. Let's get on with the show. Right, okay, so today's episode is all about reflection, and I finally found some time to sit down and answer questions that I asked for some listeners to submit an embarrassing amount of time ago, a number of months, in fact. So I'm going to start with some questions from Catherine Jenick. So Catherine is the creator of a fabulous careers resource for teenagers, and I think adults too now, Catherine, called What's Your Strength? We had the opportunity to meet last year when she was in Cartmel nearby with her mum celebrating her birthday. She was also the first guest to ask me questions during the recording of her episode. So I would have been very disappointed if she hadn't used that as an opportunity to ask some more. So let's dive in.
Hi, Steve. It's Catherine from What's Your Strength. You asked for some questions. What are your values that you are not willing to sacrifice when making career decisions?
Right, so when I first left London and moved back to the Lake District, a huge part of me was broken, really, I think. Having discovered the work of Brené Brown during the first lockdown of 2020, one of the other previous guests, Alexandra Galvez, had shared the details of one of a UK facilitator's workshop that Brené's kind of farmed out around her Daring to Lead book called Daring Greatly. So this workshop was delivered by the incredible Emma Collins. If you are listening by chance, hello. It's usually delivered in person over 3 days, but obviously COVID was a barrier to that. So there was this unique opportunity that popped up to spend 2 hours each week in an evening with a group of like-minded people, understanding and empathising with each other and ourselves. Now, the first week focused on values that light the way. So it speaks to your question here, Catherine, which makes the question a little bit easier to answer, having already had time to reflect in depth. So first kind of value that I wouldn't be willing to sacrifice is openness. So there's lots of other values that feed into this, including compassion, equality, diversity, inclusion, belonging, acceptance, long list. But for me, it's about that willingness to listen and to learn about yourself and others and their lived experiences. We spend so much time working that it's important for me to have that dialogue open, for it to be two-way. In my experience in the corporate world, if you don't have that, it can lead to a lot of things being said or not said, depending on who you are and what level you're at. And the latter causes a lot of unnecessary stress and anxiety in people's lives. Now, some might argue that you can't tell everyone everything, and I'd agree. But I do think you can be honest about why something isn't being shared. And if we're in situations where we're in a meeting, for example, and somebody's being rude and interrupting and talking over somebody, using that as an opportunity to step in and kind of call that behaviour out. Another value I would kind of lean towards is meaning. So in my work to date, it's meant a lot. And I'll always look for work that allows me to be part of something bigger. And I don't want to look back on my life really and feel like I wasted opportunities to support those that are behind me or further down the ladder, a ladder that I've worked quite hard to climb up in my career so far. And then another value that I've got here, I think, is family. So it's a new one, this, that I don't necessarily think I would have had on this list 2 or 3 years ago, but the last kind of 18 months, especially when I've left London and I've moved home to live with my parents, I lost 2 of my grandparents at the start of last year. Not COVID directly related, but COVID played its part, I think. And being able to be here for my mum, because it was both of her parents that we lost, made a huge difference for her, I know, but also it was something that was very, very painful, but a time that I will always kind of cherish, having been there for her, for example. I've also become an uncle for the first time, little Maisie Agnes. And that's brought us all together as well. So from a career point of view, family involves an appreciation for those that we work with and that we have a personal life and that this should be respected, for example. But on another level, I think you can have a work family. So those you trust inside and outside of work. I've been very fortunate over the course of my career so far that I've made friends with people at work and the people that I'm still in touch with and socialise even with after we parted the company in the workplace. And there's also the concept of chosen families as well, which you may or may not be familiar with, but it's particularly important for people like me who identify with the LGBTQ plus community. I've got a small group of close friends who I consider to be family, even though we're not related. And I trust them just as much, and in some cases, more.
What have you done throughout your career that has stretched your comfort zone the most?
Now, I do believe in stretch and working outside of your comfort zone, but I'd like to use my response to this question, Catherine, to come back to my news that I shared at the top of the episode, linking it to times when you can be overstretched and become uncomfortable. The biggest step that I took in my corporate career was moving into a role where I was asked to lead communications across 2 teams. Now, at the time, it seemed like a natural progression and a healthy stretch that would help me to build a case for the promotion that I was looking for. But honestly, looking back, I think it was most likely the best example that I have of when I should have said no to something. Boundaries were crossed time and time again, which started to impact on my mental health with knock-on effects on my confidence and my ability to do the job. And before I left full-time employment to work for myself 4 years ago now, I would have said stepping into a classroom in East London at the age of 23 with zero teaching experience to deliver a full-time teaching timetable on the Teach First programme was a good example of stretching beyond the comfort zone in my career. It does still rank highly, but running my own business now tops the chart, I guess. So part of that journey has been this launching this podcast. So before episode one was published back on the 24th of June, 2019, so that one's almost at its 3-year anniversary, I'd never edited a piece of audio or created and published an episode of a podcast. I listened to very few of them as well at that point, but I never saw that as a barrier to bringing the vision that I had to life. It's incredibly easy, I think, to find a course or self-teach yourself things today. I joined the Seth Godin podcast publishing workshop series and used the skills that I learned there to bring you what is now 100 episodes of content. Now, it's allowed me to meet so many interesting people, and I feel privileged that they decided to share their career story with me and you. I still get nervous every time I contact someone and ask them if they're interested in becoming a guest. There are some fortunate examples now where it's been going so long that people approach me, but then sometimes there's an awkward point where I kind of have to think, well, are you the right type of guest? How do I say no? Coming back to that piece around boundaries again, I guess. But thank you to everyone who has said yes, including you, Catherine. You are all of the reasons that I'm celebrating this centenary episode, of course.
Have there been any sliding doors moments where you're intrigued about what would have happened had you made a different decision?
Sliding doors, right. So I have often wondered how Mr. Keith would be getting on in his classroom if he hadn't decided to leave in pursuit of a new career. I love teaching. But I wasn't overly keen on all of the red tape that went with it and the workload. He says, having decided to take a bit of a break from work. I saw teaching geography then as a fantastic opportunity to bring the world to life, and the endless kind of word-filled worksheets and teaching to a test really zapped my passion and creativity. I remember one example, so there was a day when an earthquake happened in Japan and I was coming into school, I'd seen the metro on the train, I was excited about an idea for my lesson that day. When I got into my classroom, I started flipping tables, I removed the chairs, I threw textbooks on the floor. I think the other teachers in the department thought that I'd finally lost it. But in my head, I was creating a learning experience where my students would take their lessons in a setting that felt like an earthquake had happened to them. I was told to tidy the room and make sure I stuck to the timetable so nobody fell behind in their learning. They aren't learning tectonics for another 2 terms, I was told. Destroyed my confidence and really, really irritated me as well, because I think those moments when you can actually, particularly with geography, kind of show pupils and get them to understand what's going on in the real world with what they're doing in front of them in the classroom, so rare that we have to grasp them. If I'd stayed in teaching, I probably would have inevitably left the same school to find a head of department role where I could shift some of my focus onto making teaching and learning more fun and relevant for young people. Geography is literally everywhere in the news today. I'm constantly badgering my parents about recycling. I've just bought a compost bin to go on the worktop as well. We have to bring the world into learning. Otherwise, what's the point? And I mean, especially when we think about the state of the world's climate right now, right? Who knows? Maybe I'll find my way back into the classroom in the future. It's certainly something that I would want to explore later on in life.
If your career story was made into a film, who would play you?
So, a film, who would play me? Goodness me. You've really gone for some difficult ones here, Catherine. Some people used to say that my doppelganger was Shane from Westlife. I still can't see it, and people are probably listening to this and howling with laughter. So we'll move on from that one. But I think actors like Colin Firth or Stanley Tucci, I watched Supernova with my mum a few months ago. It was a beautiful film. And I've just finished watching The Staircase as well on Sky with Colin Firth and Tony Collette in as well. Colin's a fantastic actor. Let's go for Colin. Colin Firth.
If your career story was a book, what is the name of the next chapter?
A book, next chapter. So I'm living one long chapter at the moment. I'm calling it, Homeward Bound versus Step Back in Time. get a bit of Kylie in there. Like I said, I'm using it as an opportunity to reconnect with my family. I've lost two of my grandparents. We've got my niece that survived. My mum's had two knees replaced. But there's been a lot of times when I've continued to struggle with my anxiety and depression. And I have found it at points quite isolated, and it can be quite lonely at times, especially before the world started opening up again and I could kind of pop on a train and go and see people. The next chapter, got my eyes firmly placed on moving to Manchester at some point this year. So maybe we could kind of call it the new boy or a new oasis, play on words there for a bit of Mancunia. Could call it Mancunia. Maybe we could call it Canal Street, because I would be very surprised if there weren't some stories that were going to come out of time spent on Canal Street once I have moved there, and maybe even before.
Looking back at your career journey so far, what would you like to have done more of, and what would you like to have done less of?
I think more balance and less time doubting myself and worrying about what others are thinking or doing. See, I knew you wouldn't let me down with those questions. Thank you, Catherine. Next, we've got Polly McGee. So Polly is based all the way down under. There's not really any other way of saying this. I bloody love her. Thanks for your question, Dahl.
Hey, Steve. This is Polly from Australia. Congratulations on your century. Here's my question. Can you describe for us how you knew when you had that big epiphany about leaving your illustrious career to go out on your own? How did you know it was the right time? What did it feel like for you?
So the right time. We've had this conversation before, I think, in one of our little offline chats. I enjoy my work the most when I feel like I'm contributing to something bigger than myself. And I think that's kind of the sticking point that I'm at the moment, about being felt to be heard and recognised. There's a lot of time at the moment where I feel like I'm doing some really great work and maybe it's not getting noticed as much as I would want it to, and I'm struggling to understand why. And that's part of what I'm going to be thinking about kind of once I've had my break. They're definitely kind of things that were missing at the end of my corporate life when I was burning out fast. I was fortunate enough then, to have financial security and courage to step into a whole new adventure. But fast forward 4 years onto the other side of a pandemic, and probably might have made different choices back then. Working for yourself's tough. But again, like I mentioned at the top of the episode, the moments of pride are what I live for in my work. So I think it's that. It's when I'm not kind of having those moments where I step back and, this is going to sound really weird and quite narcissistic potentially, but admire and take in what I've achieved. Thank you, Polly. Up next is Michael Stevens. So Michael is the founder of We Create Space. He's also used this as an opportunity to grill me with a selection of questions. I'm joking, Michael. Let's see what you've got for me.
Hi, Steve. This is Michael from We Create Space. What is the biggest risk you've taken, and if you had another chance, would you do anything differently?
So I think the biggest risk, really, going back to starting that whole new adventure. So I didn't really have a plan. I was tired, I was exhausted, I was frustrated, I needed time to heal. I wasn't kind of thinking straight in a way. And knowing what I would tend to preach to young people about having a plan, probably having a plan of my own and not figuring it out as I was going along. But then again, like, I've definitely learned over the last 4 years that running your own business or doing your own thing, being an entrepreneur, have whatever you want to call it, definitely not the hustle, I hate that word, is about getting very comfortable with failure and being able to use it as an opportunity to grow and to learn.
What have you read, seen or listened to that has shaped your life?
So, reading. So I read a lot. A bit of a bookworm. I tend to focus on business, self-help books. I tried reading a novel the other day, one that I couldn't really get into. I think I've got so used to reading like businessy style stuff that I really struggle when it's literature. Those books are kind of continually shaping my life. I'm always dipping into them in my bookcase in my room. The occasional novel does leave an impression. I read a really good one from Amru Al-Kaidi, Life of a Unicorn. Definitely recommend that one. What have I seen? So I'm quite a nosy person, to be honest. I love observing other people. One of the things that I've seen, so probably the way that we treat one another, especially at the moment, I think there's a lack of compassion in the world right now, especially towards LGBTQ plus people. Most noticeably transgender folk. There's something there, a video that I saw of Miriam Margolyes the day that she basically was just saying, there's lots of see you next Tuesdays out there right now. And she's totally right. I can't understand why people get so angry about how someone else is choosing to live their life in a way which has very little impact on them. There's a lot of hate, a lot of it coming from America at the moment around kind of the LGBTQ plus community and how we turn kids gay. And it boils my blood. It really, really does. And I think what I've seen is that there's this increasing divide and this othering of things that make people uncomfortable rather than engaging with them and learning and educating themselves. They choose to push it away. So that's what I'm seeing. And then listening things that have shaped my life. Podcasts. I mean, a lot of my music, I've invested in quite a lot of vinyl over the last couple of years. And so there's a lot of Kylie in that I listen to that's probably shaped my life. But let's take something a bit more highbrow. So I've fallen off the wagon a little bit recently listening to podcasts. I used to listen to them on my walk with Hugo, but now I really enjoy like the sound of nature around me. So maybe that's something to listen to that's shaped my life as well. I keep using busy as an excuse for not getting around to listen to podcasts, but podcasts I do listen to for a bit of light relief include Jesse and Lenny Ware's Table Manners. Love it. I've mentioned Brené Brown already, but I love Unlocked and Dare to Lead podcasts. And of course, I've already mentioned Kathy Caprino's Finding Brave as well as longtime favourites there.
What mistake have you learned from the most?
So the mistake that I've learnt the most from, I'm going to pop a placeholder on that one for now. I'm not going to shy away from it in terms of not including it in the recording, but there are some mistakes in my life that are linked to trauma that I've experienced as a result of my mistakes. And I'm in a process of working through them, wanting to share them one day, but today is not that day, my friends. Talking of mistakes, so the next question focuses on failure and comes from my first ever guest, Kathy. So I've just been mentioning her. I discovered her podcast, Finding Brave, during the time that things were starting to fall apart for me. And I learned a lot from her and the guests that she speaks to. So let's see what she has to say.
Hello, Steve. So what would you say is the biggest failure or crisis you've experienced in your life or career that you've been able to turn around and use its rich lessons to great benefit, either to make your podcast more successful or to grow in other ways that have helped you build a happier life or career? Thanks for answering.
So it's probably a standard one for most people now, Kathy, but the pandemic. It's not over yet, really, is it? Although I think a lot of people are behaving like it is. Leaving that, it caused me to leave London, really. It's one of the causes. After 14 years, I left my friends behind. I left my support networks. I left my professional identity there. I spent a long time in the first few months back here in the Lake District feeling like I'd failed. And then I've just been talking about the positives in failure. But being back in the family home, in the house at the age of 38 has really took its toll on me to start with. I've kind of got used to it now. I feel like I'm a little bit too comfortable with it, if I'm honest, sometimes. But I have turned it to my advantage. I'm fortunate that the benefits of moving back in with your parents, there have been significant reduction in financial commitments. Although with the cost of living crisis, God knows how long that'll last. They've enabled me to clear some debt and focus on saving for my move to Manchester. It's allowed me to take less money out of the business for a salary for myself and try things that I wanted to. So I don't think I would have been able to do the Queer Student Awards and launched them last year if I hadn't ended up back here because of the pandemic. I think I probably would have had to go and find a job somewhere and just it would never have come to life. And I suppose that also kind of links to kind of the work that I enjoy doing. So when I'm helping others and it helps me to realign with what matters. So do more of that, Steve. So that'd be how I'm growing, the ways that have helped me build a happier life or career is focusing on them, I guess. Thanks, Kathy. Next, we have the rather fabulous Asifa Lahore. So Asifa is Britain's first Muslim drag queen, who I'm very excited about performing at the Queer Student Awards in less than 2 weeks. If the rail strikes don't bugger it up. Asifa, so right.
Hi, Steve. Congratulations on your 100th episode for your podcast. My question is, what more do you think needs to be done in the workplace to ensure diversity and inclusion, especially for those LGBT people from BAME backgrounds?
So this is a really good question, Asifa. Thank you. Really important one. I did some research last year with not going to uni. We created an early careers inclusion report based on responses from young people about how they felt about potential for success in the workplace, their confidence in the workplace, how fair they thought it was, and the opportunities were available, and trust. And I think those are the things that we need to be focusing on when we're looking at diversity and inclusion, and that's really important. But if we're looking at, as you're asking there, around LGBTQ plus and BAME, there were some really interesting things that popped up in the research that I'll share here. So when we were talking about confidence, so we asked the question, I would feel comfortable talking about my background with an employer. Now, overall, 43% agreed. But when you look at LGBTQ plus within that, it was 56% agreed. And 100% of transgender folks disagreed. So from in terms of confidence and feeling comfortable at talking about ourselves, as a community, LGBTQ plus young people seem to be quite confident about talking about themselves. But when you look at a particular part of that community, transgender folks, they 100% disagree that they can't be themselves within the workplace. And then when you bring ethnicity into it, 48% of white folks agreed with that statement of being comfortable about talking about their background, whereas 60% of Black, African, Caribbean and Black British heritage and Asian said that they neither agreed nor disagreed. So a bit of indecisiveness there. If you look at fairness, so overall 35% said that they felt confident that concerns shared around discrimination in the workplace were treated fair and taken seriously. But then if you look at gender identity, 33%, a third of transgender folks said that they strongly disagreed and that discrimination was taken seriously. And then if we look at ethnicity again, we've got 40% of BAME said that they disagree with that statement. If you also then have a look at opportunity, for example, so how many people feel that everyone in the workplace has an equal opportunity to reach their potential? Overall, 45% disagreed. But if we look at LGBTQ+, it's slightly lower, 38. And then Asian or Asian British heritage, 53% agreed. So a strong agreement from that community that there is equal opportunity to reach potential. And then if we look at trust, 39% overall disagreed that they felt confident that senior leaders in business were trustworthy and approachable. 55%, so above that, of LGBTQ plus disagreed. And when we look at Asian or Asian British heritage, 42% agreed, so completely opposite. And 40% with Black, African, Caribbean or Black British heritage agreed, with a further 40% who neither agreed nor disagreed. Lots of figures just to kind of throw in there into the mix to illustrate what I'm trying to say. But I suppose what we can do to help people feel safe in the workplace now or in the future, for me, kind of like, and this speaks to kind of the what we found in the report as well, was more understanding from colleagues, prioritization around mental health, policies that promote fairness, compassionate management within the workplace, and actions that speak louder with words. Is a quote that one of the people that we surveyed gave that I will finish this answer on, that said, "I don't need to be told that I'll be supported, I need to be shown." And I think that says a lot about the workplace in general. We can say we're going to do something, but it's our actions that speak louder than our words. Thanks, my darling. So I will be seeing you soon. Onwards to Carolyn Parry. So Carolyn and I first met in 2017 when I was asked to attend a speed networking event in place of one of the partners at EY. Now, I usually hate these things, but we hit it off immediately and have worked together on projects during my time back at EY and with me supporting her own business. She's also very kindly helped to judge the Queer Student Awards this year. So Carolyn's question was submitted over email and she has asked, "What makes you, you?" Cheeky. I knew you were going to give me a question like this, Carolyn. Genetics. No, I know that's not the intention, but there is kind of an honesty in that, I think, kind of linking to my parents. So the last 18 months living with them, I really have started to appreciate how the way that they brought me up and my brother up has helped to shape the person that I am today. My mum's a very compassionate, kind person. My dad's quite driven towards success. And he can be quite stubborn as well, which I can be. I'm more than happy to admit that. Doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to budge. If you take the genetics away, I'm someone who's passionate about the things that matter to them. And I'm rarely afraid of sharing my opinion. I've got very good at doing that sometimes, a little bit too much. Especially when it's concerning discrimination, hate speech or ignorance. I just cannot. Those three, nah. If you're exhibiting those behaviours, I'm walking away from the conversation. I ain't got time. I can be quite a quiet soul and disconnect, so sometimes that can come across as being disengaged. It can lead to me bottling things up and learning to ask. So I do need to learn to ask for help more each day, I guess. And for everyone else listening, you should know that Carolyn invited me to speak at an event she was hosting online a few weeks ago, and the conversation that we had afterwards and the feedback that you passed on to me, Carolyn, has played a big part in my decision to step back from everything for a while to figure out the purpose in that new direction that I'm searching for. So thank you for that conversation, Carolyn. You've steered the ship, or helped to steer the ship in a different direction. And I will always be grateful for that. Finally, we've got one of my oldest friends, Mrs. Rebecca Bayuk. So we both met in our first year at university in 2001. Oh, my Lord. We spent a year living together in our second year. And even though you now live in America with your husband, hi, Tom, we still remain very close virtually. Kind of, we're going through similar journeys. You've started working for yourself as well. She's one of the most stupidly talented writers I personally know. And she runs her own business, Rabble of Bees. She's going to be very embarrassed and tell me that I'm overdoing it there, but I don't care. So again, your questions were submitted via email, weren't they, or WhatsApp or something like that. Let me find them again. I've lost them on my screen. If you could go back in time and give yourself a piece of advice prior to starting The Branding Man, what would it be? Right, okay, so piece of advice prior to starting The Branding Man. Manage your time and remove distractions from your life sooner. Delegate what you can so you can free up time for the stuff that you love doing. And realise that no one will be expecting you to do everything. Right, next. What's the favourite and least favourite parts of your job? Favourite part, master of my own destiny. And I can have flexibility in how and when I work. I know a lot of people have had to kind of adjust to that and don't necessarily like that after the last few years, but I've always loved it. I was kind of adjusted to that before things happened. And that freedom, I just love it. And arguably the balance might be a bit out of whack right now, but I'm addressing that, which is what's important, right? Right, next. Right, what strategies or activities do you have in terms of balancing or attempting to your work-life ratio in the context of A, working for yourself in your own business, and B, working from home amid a pandemic, crazy time in general. So obviously we are kind of moved through the pandemic a bit more now than when you will have submitted this question months ago. So let's have a go. I find this really hard. We've had lots of conversations about this, which is probably why you're asking the question. And if you're about to think I'm about to come up with some advice that I haven't already given you, then probably not. But breaks and naps. My parents giggle at me a lot for my naps. But every day I try to have 45 minutes of focused work and then a 15-minute break. I'll try and have a nap for 20 to 30 minutes most afternoons. Got that from Stephen Pink's book, When. Basically, like, I take a little bit of a coffee espresso shot, and then you go and have your, get ready for your nap and go and lie down and put a timer on for 20, 25 minutes. The coffee just starts to kick in around that time. So you wake up and feel refreshed rather than feeling dozy, which is always something that I worry about with naps, is that I'm just going to go into a deep sleep and then wake up hours later. Has happened before. I rarely work on Saturdays. I have at least one day a week where I like to do nothing related to work. Now, when you're self-employed, you realise how much of a luxury things like holidays and time off are. So you have to find ways to protect your time. And for me, time in case of those holidays can take a while to happen. I haven't had a holiday abroad since 2018. Definitely going to try and solve that before then this year. And the pandemic as well. Don't be so hard on yourself. So I'm looking at the second part of your question now. So working from home amid all of that pandemic crazy time in general, like, there's a lot going on for everybody. Like, I read a really interesting article earlier today, actually, about how everyone is grieving right now in lots of different ways. And we never know what someone's going through. So be kind, be compassionate, and stay connected. Slight caveat there, just catch myself, that sometimes disconnecting can be a good thing if you do it in the right way. And that's one of the reasons why I'm telling people, so that perhaps it will encourage people to check in on me, it will encourage me to check in on others, etc., etc. So you've got two more questions here. The next one is, get it off my screen, do you have a morning routine? And if so, how did you develop it? And why did you choose particular rituals or activities? Morning rituals, right. Well, you know, because you lived with me, that I'm not a morning person. My calendar's blocked out until 10:30 most mornings. Now, I'm not a morning person, so I've had to create space to wake up slowly. I take Hugo out for a walk. I enjoy some breakfast at the table with my parents. I tend to my herb garden, which is another butt of a family joke, because it's in dire need of attention most of the time because I've forgotten to water it, or bought it and then not actually kind of prepared any meals using it. That slowly kind of waking up process has meant that I've started to get more energy than I've ever had. So I'm coming out the other side of the day feeling a lot more kind of energized, and building in sleep hygiene has helped too as well. So I try not to have devices in bed. I try to put my phone away after 10 or 11 p.m. and I've stopped binge watching things. Big difference there. Like, I'm just like, well, the world ain't going to end if I don't watch all of this in one go. So I kind of drip feed myself stuff, which is a lot more healthier, I think. Certainly works for me anyway. Doesn't mean I don't binge watch at all, but I've stopped doing it as much as I did. Okay, so your final question that you've got here, finally, ! Are you a coffee or tea person while you're working, and do you dunk or not? Frankly, I mean, you should know this one, darling. Coffee by the gallon. I've never perfected the art of dunking, and I'm also not a fan of the soggy biscuit. There is a rude joke there, but I will keep things clean. Right, so thank you for your questions, my dear. So I can't wait to see you next weekend for our uni reunion / birthday celebration whilst you're back in the UK for your big birthday. If you're listening to this, I'm sure after we've seen each other, then I'm sure we had an amazing time. So that's it. Thank you to all of you that submitted those questions. I've really enjoyed the process of reflecting on my life and career through them. Hope you've enjoyed the answers, and everybody else that was listening has learned something about me as well, maybe taken something away for yourself. So that's episode 100 done. Yes. So I'll be back with a new season. There's no planned date. So the best thing you can do really is subscribe, switch on the notifications, and you'll find out then. Bye for now, my lovely listeners.